This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump marking 100 days in office in Michigan today as new polls put his approval rating at the lowest point of any president in the past 80 years at the 100-day mark, partly because of the economic moves he's made so far.
President Trump's tariffs leading to global uncertainty. His 145% tariffs on China remain in place. And 72% of voters say they think it's very or somewhat likely the president's policies will cause a recession in the short term.
ABC's Christian Cordero, President Trump presiding over the worst first 100 days for the stock market since Richard Nixon. The Conservative Party had been on the brink of victory in Canada following former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's nearly decade in office. However, anti-Trump sentiment helped the Liberal Party surge back, Prime Minister Mark Carney winning re-election on Monday. Four killed when a car crashed into a school in central Illinois in the town of Chatham, south of Springfield. The victims were between the ages of 4 and 18. This is ABC News. Underway in Paris, the trial of robbers accused of attacking Kim Kardashian. ABC's Melissa Adan.
Kardashian was staying in Paris for Fashion Week in 2016 when thieves disguised as police officers forced the hotel concierge to lead them to Kardashian's suite. Now, 10 defendants, 9 men and 1 woman are standing trial for their alleged involvement in the heist. One of the original 12 suspects died in the near decade since the robbery. And French authorities say another defendant can't be tried due to their medical condition. Kardashian is expected to take the stand and testify at some point.
The thieves made off with millions of dollars worth of jewelry, including Kim Kardashian's engagement ring from Kanye West. A Florida man driving into a lake to save the symbol of our country. The man spotted a bald eagle in trouble after it got into a fight with another bird. The lake crawling with alligators, but the man got the eagle out and handed it off to wildlife officials. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Green Bay signs another free agent. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers have signed former Giants linebacker Isaiah Simmons to a one-year deal. He played last year in New York after being drafted by the Cardinals. Badgers left tackle Jack Nelson was selected by the Atlanta Falcons over the weekend in the 7th round. Nelson confident he can make the roster there.
This past season, I had my best season. And then along with that, I've proven I can handle adversity. You know, I went through 4 O-line coaches in 5 years, 2 head coaches. And so, you know, I'm just trying to sell myself as a tough, durable, experienced player that, you know, I've been tested before. You know, there's no reason to say that this transition to the NFL, I wouldn't be able to handle it.
NBA, the Bucks are down 3-1 in their playoff series against the Pacers. Giannis says Damian Lillard, who suffered a torn Achilles, will be on his mind tonight.
I think everything happens for a reason. You know, obviously I wish Dame the best. We love him. We're going to support him. But yeah, we just got to keep on moving forward, man.
That's the Bucks, Giannis and Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A few clouds this morning, becoming sunny this afternoon. Our high today, generally in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down into the 30s. Tomorrow, some sun in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy. A few showers in the afternoon with a high in the mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, a conversation with Brian Kennedy, one of the candidates seeking to become the next chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you with me on this Monday, this windy Monday night in the state of Wisconsin. Hope you're having a great day. We have a great question tonight, and it is, who is your favorite first lady? So text us, let us know what you're thinking. So far, Michelle Obama is in the lead, I would say handsomely, but I will read your texts in just a few minutes. We'll play some catch up there. Nellie Kluse will be here at 7:20. She's a filmmaker and a director whose film The Dells will screen at the Milwaukee Film Festival tomorrow night and then again next week. We've been having some fun with the Milwaukee Film Festival guests and all kinds of great stuff going on. I'm going to talk about The Accountant 2, which I saw over the weekend, and Drop. But right now, we have a few minutes left with our pal Zane Lamprey, who is coming to Wisconsin. You can find out his dates at zanelamprey.com, where he will be playing in our state. We're going to talk a little bit about his TV shows right now. He's got all these TV shows on. He's a very busy guy. Zane, I have to get this out of the way. I saw recently that you tasted bull's testicles.
Where did you get this information from?
On the interwebs. The dark web, apparently. I don't know what's going on.
yeah, for sure I have. Yeah, those are, you know, Rocky Mountain oysters, for sure. bull testicles. I have them, you know, sliced and breaded and fried, not like whole.
Do they melt in your mouth, or is it like, just are they kind of tough?
They're horrible. They're just like... They're like the worst chicken nuggets. They're just like, I think it's a rite of passage. I don't think a lot of people are really going out there to have these, you know, for the flavor. They're very gamey and nasty. But you know, look, so doing my drinking shows, doing my food shows, sometimes you have to eat things for the sake of the show. And that was definitely one of those things.
take one for the team. Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm proud of myself for not making a teabagging joke there. So
I wasn't sure the latitude I would get, but yeah, continue. It's best that we did it.
So tell us about Have Fork, Will Travel. This looks like a really cool show, and you really get into some great food talk too. I mean, you got it all covered. Food, drinks. It's just all fantastic stuff.
I did, but I don't want to like burst this bubble that you've made up. But like, you know, these are all things from a time when those kinds of shows were the staple of many of these networks: travel, food,
yeah,
cooking, and Fine Living Network. But that's just not the way that it is anymore. You know, I had a Food Network, a travel show for Food Network, where I traveled around the world and trying different you know, foods. I did the same thing for drinks. But like, there's just not any network that's doing that kind of stuff anymore.
Oh, that is nuts.
And it's really like a product of YouTube, where people can kind of go out and piecemeal their entertainment together, or go down the rabbit hole with social media. And so,
yeah,
you know, those shows just aren't really happening. And I did a bunch. I did like 6 or 7 different series, and had a great time. And I think I struck while the iron was hot.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of moved on. You know, Travel Channel, all they do is like paranormal stuff right now. They don't even do travel. It's just the weirdest thing.
That is really weird.
You know, and Food Network is kind of the only one, but they're like, you know, sticking with their stars. And cooking, I don't know that that's even around anymore. So,
okay.
Yeah, but when the time, when it was all happening, I was in the mix, and I had some great shows. And I, you know, I think I've eaten and drank in 71 countries. And jeez. Yeah, I got lucky.
That's and that's fun. All of those combined are almost as much as we eat and drink here in Wisconsin. So kudos to you.
Correct. That is correct.
So,
yes.
All right. So you've done the hosting thing. You've done all that. You're very busy doing 140 stand-up dates a year. What do you prefer? And where do you see your career going? Like, do you want your own sitcom? Are you happy just performing live in front of audiences? Where are you in 5 years?
I'm never happy. Even if I was doing a sitcom, I would never be. I wouldn't be. Not that I'm not happy. I'm always happy.
Right.
I'm never content. Okay, I'm never content. I never accept the way that things are. And I think that's the reason I'm able to stay busy is that I'm always trying to figure out what to do. I know a lot of people, you know, friends that were hosts at the same time as me are now, you know, they're doing different things. They're not even in entertainment anymore. So, I mean, look, I'm happy doing these shows, these stand-up shows. I like doing them at breweries. Do I prefer that I was doing theaters and stadiums? Yeah, sure. That would be okay. Sure. I wouldn't be upset with that. And I'm doing 140 shows a year. Could I cut that in half? Yeah, that'd be great. If I was doing bigger ones, I could do less of them, but I am happy with what I'm doing.
Sure.
And there's always conversations about bringing those shows back, whether it's the drinking shows, the eating shows. I had a meeting with the guys who created According to Jim for Jim Belushi about doing a sitcom. Yeah. There's always stuff in the works, but Hollywood it moves at a very strange pace. And when I'm out here doing my stand-up shows, I can dictate that pace. I can be the master of my own destiny, which, you know, all the shows that you mentioned and more, they all got canceled. You know what I mean? And like, it was never me who quit doing those shows.
Right.
It's just that the network's tastes change, the regime changes, you know, things move in and out. I don't have control over that. So
I thought
like
Have Fork was still on. My bad. Yeah.
No. To be honest with you, I think it was about 15 years ago.
See, I have a black and white TV, so that could be part of my problem.
that does, yeah.
That's really interesting you say that, because anytime I've been on a project that didn't go or got canceled, people, I think it's how they treat you on the way out. It's like, listen, we're either going to bring this back, but we know we definitely want to do something with you. That means we never want to see you again. We're never calling. Go away. So if it's working out for you, if they bring back your shows, I think you're ahead of the game, buddy.
Look, I mean, I did the show Three Sheets. That went off the air. People loved that show so much that Mark Cuban created Drinking Made Easy. And then that went off the air. And people liked that so much that we were able to do a show called Chug for Nat Geo. And then this other network, you know, that was called Drink TV, brought back the same iteration of a show called Four Sheets. So I've seen it happen four times.
Yeah.
So I'm very optimistic and open to the idea that it comes back. But in the meantime, I just, you know, I turned in my book. I'm writing my second book. I'm doing stand up. You know, when I'm back home, I'm very busy. So, you know, I have a podcast, and it's like, yeah, it's good. I like being the master of my own destiny, but, you know, I wouldn't mind someone coming in and rocking the boat with something bigger.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if I can take any credit at all, and I will,
for the
new picture on your website, it kicks ass, and you're kicking ass. So keep up the great work, and always good to talk to you, buddy. Come back soon, and I hope you crush it here in Wisconsin. If you get near Green Bay,
I will.
Let me know, and we'll have you in the studio. It'll be fun.
I will. Yeah, I will. You'll get back on the sauce. You don't want to hang out with me.
I'll do my best. Keep walking, too.
Brother.
All right, man.
You got it. Thank
Take
you.
Take care, Zane.
Cheers.
That's Zane Lamprey. Check out Have Fork Will Travel, but it's been off the air for 15 years. That's a guy who kind of prides himself in doing his research. We'll have Nellie Kluse coming up in just a few minutes, folks, to talk about her documentary, The Dells, which you can see at the Milwaukee Film Festival, which is in full swing. Let's get to some text. Our question of the night, it was National First Ladies Day. Oh, I forgot to ask Zane who his first lady was, but Well, that didn't come out right. Who his favorite first lady is. His first lady. That sounds very terrible. But that's our question of the night, folks. Let us know, who is your favorite first lady? And going to the text line here, Anna from Madison says, "Hi, Pete and Todd. My favorite first lady is Michelle Obama. She's not afraid to say anything. She's great." Totally agree, Anna. Outstanding choice. And Michelle is definitely in the lead. I would say tonight, Christine from Slinger says, "In history, Dolly Madison and Eleanor Roosevelt. In my lifetime, Betty Ford and Michelle Obama." Dolly Madison, she's going back to. She must have read a book, right? I mean,
I don't know.
Just because of the donuts?
I was just going to say, those lovely, tasty snacks.
It's got to be. They named donuts after her. She had to be worthwhile as a first lady. And Eleanor Roosevelt, she's a butt kicker, too. That's fantastic. Thank you, Christine. Nick from Marshall says, "Can't pick just one. I think I would have to say Jill Biden, Michelle Obama, and Hillary Clinton." All right. Three fine first ladies. Well done, Nick. Thank you. Tom from New Berlin says, "Todd, my ex-wife, she was always president." Is he talking to you?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not sure.
We need a comma in there or something, Tom. I don't want to misrepresent you, Tom. Tom is an avid texter, and I love his text. But, I think she was always president. Like, his wife was the boss, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know. Give us some clarification. I didn't know that. But she's, again, not to go back to the word peculiar, but I've heard that she was kind of a peculiar first lady and a peculiar person. But I love that. Who doesn't love a seance in the White House? John from Columbia County, that's the 608, I'm sorry. He says, "Barbara Bush was a class act." I think a lot of people agree with you there, John.
Yep.
Barbara Bush. I remember hearing a story about Al Franken on a plane with Barbara Bush.
Okay.
And she says, "Well, you're a great impressionist, Al, but it's nice that you don't have anything you've noticed about my son, George." And he goes, "No, I have something." He kind of laughs. He kind of goes, She said, "Well, I don't think that's very accurate at all."
Oh, my God.
They got into this argument on the plane. It was great. Thank you, John, for the text. Susan from McFarland says, "My first ladies would be Michelle Obama. However, if you know anything about the history of Eleanor Roosevelt, you would be certainly, she was an amazing first lady." Boy, Michelle and Eleanor are kicking butt tonight in our little informal poll on the stream. Daniel is listening, and he says, "I second Michelle Obama." All right, Michelle Obama's our front runner easily. Hey, I wanted to ask you about, it's a hell of a segue.
teach you that in broadcasting school, did they?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I went to broadcasting school. Where do you stand on exorcisms, Todd? Do they work? Are people actually possessed? Todd, in his spare time, folks, is a paranormal investigator, a very insightful one, and does great work. And we've talked numerous times on this show about some of the work he's done. I love talking to Todd about this stuff. But there have been movies made. Where do you stand on those?
I actually went and saw an actual somebody that actually did exorcisms and actually went to a an event where they spoke, and they actually showed film and played audio of them doing this. I don't think everything is a possession, right?
Okay.
I don't. But sometimes I do believe in them. And the one thing that scares me, and this is going to get kind of deep, but sometimes people who may have mental issues, some issues in their life with alcohol and drugs and all that kind of, I worry that there might be more there than just everyday problems.
Okay.
And I worry that sometimes it's overlooked and maybe there's a little something extra going on there, but I do believe in them. I don't understand why religious.
That was my next question.
Yeah. Right? I don't know why it has to be religious in order for it to work. But yeah, I do. I believe some of that stuff does happen once in a while.
Where else, folks, can you hear about a comic who drinks and walks 50,000 steps
while he's
with
on
a
the
dose
phone.
Of exorcism while he's on the phone with cockfights happening behind him.
Now, if he was walking and his head was spinning around and he was spitting out pea soup, then you'd have some.
Oh, that's horrible. That's the voice of Todd Michaels sitting in for Conrad. We are coming right back with filmmaker Nellie Kluse. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As if the Federal Election Commission didn't have enough problems, another member has reportedly chosen not to continue when his term runs out April 30th. That leaves the normally six-member commission with three and unable to conduct business. FEC members are nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate, and by law should have three Republicans and three Democrats. A Republican member, Sean Cooksey, resigned effective January 20th, and days later, President Donald Trump fired, likely illegally, FEC Chair Democrat Ellen Weintraub in a one-sentence letter. That left the minimum number of commissioners to conduct business until now. News outlet Notice is reporting that Republican Commissioner Alan Dickerson steps down April 30th, leaving only three members and no quorum. The typically ineffectual FEC, due to its equal partisan numbers, will cease hearings, rulemaking, and actions on campaign finance complaints for the fourth time in its history. Two previous shutdowns were in 2019 and 2020 during the first Trump administration. Donald Trump, subject of scores of past and present campaign finance complaints, including the notorious Stormy Daniels payoff, has already fired inspectors general in 17 federal agencies, so he's unlikely to be in a hurry to nominate any new FEC commissioners. We have more on the FEC's struggles to keep elections fair at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I am Peach Wabba, your host. So outstanding to have you with me on this incredible Monday night here in the state of Wisconsin. Who is your favorite first lady? That is our question of the night. The Nightlight question of the night. Saturday was National First Ladies Day, so I would say Michelle Obama, wouldn't you say, Todd, is just way ahead of the pack right now.
Absolutely.
In terms of all-around awesomeness. So we got some Barbara Bush votes. We got some one for Hillary and Eleanor Roosevelt, I would say, making a good showing.
And I'm the only one that voted for Mary Todd.
Mary Todd.
I'm the only one.
Because you're biased, because of your name.
I know.
I said, I actually had a crush on Dolly Madison, too. So I got to put her up.
Oh, those snowballs? Is that what it was? The pink?
Oh, yeah.
The pink candy?
You know, cake? I bought those once just because I was curious.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell do those taste like? And I bought them, and it was just like a
Why the hell did I do that?
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah. You know, go, I'm glad I ate that. All right. So now, folks, we're going to turn our conversations to independent film. This is exciting. The Milwaukee Film Festival is in full swing right now. It is a great film festival. And joining me now here on Nightlight for the first time is the creative talent behind the film The Dells. My pleasure to welcome director Nellie Kluse. Hey, Nellie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
This is great. It's great to have. Hey, do you have a first lady, a favorite first lady?
I'm trying to think. Michelle Obama's a good one. I kind of like Lady Bird Johnson, if only for the name.
Right.
And she's cool as well.
She's cool, but it is a cool name. It's hard to, it's like if you had a president named Cobra, that's like the equivalent. It's kind of a badass name, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you. How are you doing tonight? Are you excited about your screening coming up?
Very. Yeah. I'm so, so excited to share the movie with Wisconsin audiences because it is a Wisconsin-centric film, and anyone so far I've showed it to in Wisconsin has a really good and interesting take on it, you know.
Really? Than,
yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that too. But first, before I ask you, before we jump into the Dells, tell me a little bit about yourself and how did you get to this moment? Like, where did you start out in your career? And give us a little background, if you would.
Yeah. So I've been making films for quite some time now, like all in the realm of observational documentaries. Nonfiction film is really what I love working on. You know, you get to kind of have an excuse to be nosy and meet people and right. see what they're doing and go different places. So yeah, when I started making this film, I was based in the Midwest. I was in Chicago and then in Iowa City. Now I'm based in New York. And I'm originally from upstate New York. And yeah, I've just sort of gradually worked on my own projects. You know, I tend to work in a pretty sort of small scale way, like myself, doing a lot of the work. I do collaborate with other people. But yeah, kind of feeling it out, piecing things together and getting to know a place or a group of people and making a film about it.
So that's kind of interesting. That's a very Kerouacian almost approach to, you know, filmmaking. Are you inspired by different locales, like to tell different stories? Like, what is your connection to Wisconsin? Did you have one when you made the Dells, or did the story come to you another way?
Yeah, I mean, I had been to Wisconsin, you know, living in Chicago, to Milwaukee and Madison and other places. But, you know, I had made another film that was about tourism and kind of people going on contemporary kind of like tourist pilgrimages to Niagara Falls and some other places. And all my Midwest friends were like, you know, what you should check out is Wisconsin Dells if you didn't grow up going there. So I went and I just found the place really inspiring. Because, you know, there's so much happening. There's so many like visual layers and so much history and so many different people converging on this, you know, technically pretty small place. And it's right. so kind of international that, yeah, I was immediately drawn to it. And, you know, I was living not too far away at the time and just kind of made it my business to keep coming back and forth and, you know, kind of get to know the rhythms of the place, some of the people there, what was going on.
So, all right. So your home base right now is New York. What are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on a lot of screening and distribution stuff for this film, which has been really fun and exciting, working on some new projects. And then that I'm sort of in the beginning stages of, and then I also do camera work for other people's projects.
Nice. I saw too, that you taught film. Mm-hmm. In California, Cal Arts, and then also mm-hmm. in Iowa. So have you ever learned anything yourself teaching film to others?
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really helpful to have to explain why you're doing something to other people or why you think you should do things a certain way. Right. Or hear, you know, other options. But yeah, teaching is super inspirational, and you know, there's lots to be gleaned from just the things that students know or questions they ask. So I do really like teaching, and a shout out to all. I there's some really wonderful faculty members and teachers at UWM in Milwaukee who are doing a great job there in the film department. They've got a cool scene, I think.
Yeah, they certainly do. And I love talking to, and I had to ask you that because I love talking to people who make films, but also actually teach film. I think that's such a unique and cool existence. So this is, my guest is Nellie Kluse. Her screenings for the Dells, which we'll jump into after the news. I want to hear all about it. It's this great story about people coming from all over to work in the Wisconsin Dells. And we'll get more details on that. But the screenings are April 29th, 6:30 p.m. at the Oriental Theater. And then May 6th, 3 p.m. at the Downer Theater. So two outstanding venues. Have you been to those theaters yet? Have you ever seen anything there?
I've seen the Oriental Theater, but I have not been. I don't think I've ever been to a film there. So
it's so beautiful. It's like majestic. It's gorgeous. Are you going to do a Q&A at either venue?
I unfortunately can't. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I really wish I could be there, but sadly, no.
All right. All the more reason that I'm going to pepper you with questions after the news, because we'll do our own little Q&A here, and we'll jump into the film The Dells with its director, Nellie Kluse. She is here over the stream with us. We'll ask her and hear all about her film, The Dells, which you can check out at the Milwaukee Film Festival. John on the text line from Columbia County, the 608, he says, by the way, I make Bernie look conservative. There's a few of those listeners here at Civic Media. Thank you, John. Who's your favorite first lady? Get in on the fun. We are coming right back for more with Nellie Kluse. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump marking 100 days in office in Michigan today as new polls put his approval rating at the lowest point of any president in the past 80 years at the 100-day mark, partly because of the economic moves he's made so far.
President Trump's tariffs leading to global uncertainty. His 145% tariffs on China remain in place. And 72% of voters say they think it's very or somewhat likely the president's policies will cause a recession in the short term.
ABC's Christian Cordero, President Trump presiding over the worst first 100 days for the stock market since Richard Nixon. The Conservative Party had been on the brink of victory in Canada following former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's nearly decade in office. However, anti-Trump sentiment helped the Liberal Party surge back, Prime Minister Mark Carney winning re-election on Monday. Four killed when a car crashed into a school in central Illinois in the town of Chatham, south of Springfield. The victims were between the ages of 4 and 18. This is ABC News.
Green Bay signs another free agent.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers have signed former Giants linebacker Isaiah Simmons to a one-year deal. He played last year in New York after being drafted by the Cardinals. Badgers left tackle Jack Nelson was selected by the Atlanta Falcons over the weekend in the seventh round. Nelson confident he can make the roster there.
This past season, I had my best season. And then along with that, I've proven I can handle adversity. You know, I went through four O-line coaches in 5 years, two head coaches. And so, you know, I'm just trying to sell myself as a tough, durable, experienced player that, you know, I've been tested before. You know, there's no reason to say that this transition to the NFL, I wouldn't be able to handle it.
NBA, the Bucks are down 3-1 in their playoff series against the Pacers. Giannis says Damian Lillard, who suffered a torn Achilles, will be on his mind tonight.
I think everything happens for a reason. You know, obviously I wish Dame the best. We love him. We're going to support him. But yeah, we just got to keep on moving forward, man.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sinners did not make as much as it did last week when it was also number one, but still set a record. The film pulled in $45 million, which is only 6% less than it made opening weekend. There's typically a huge falloff in week two, even for hit movies, but especially for horror films, according to Variety. Impressive reviews are giving Sinners serious legs. And speaking of legs, Star Wars Revenge of the Sith 20th anniversary re-release was number two, bringing in $25 million+, which edged out Ben Affleck's The Accountant 2. If you want to hear Ben Affleck do a weird accent he didn't do in the first film, check it out. The Minecraft movie finished in fourth place with just over $22 million. Rounding out the top five was the horror film Until Dawn, which brought in $8 million. So far, the box office has seen 11% higher gains than at this time last year. A good sign, so keep going to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A few clouds this morning, becoming sunny this afternoon. Our high today, generally in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down into the 30s. Tomorrow, some sun in the morning, becoming mostly cloudy. A few showers in the afternoon with a high in the mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 48.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise
about the future? And what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that?
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. That would be the background music for my life. If I could have that just follow me places.
This one right here?
People go, who's this dude coming? I like this.
This is the Spinners, right?
Yeah.
I love the Spinners.
I'd love to have score as part of my life, even though it's a song. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, Milwaukee anchorman from CBS 58 and Marinette native son Mike Strela will be here in the studio sitting next to me.
I'm so jealous, by the way. I've known Mike since he worked up here in Green Bay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was on, I think, Channel 2 at the time, and then he went down to Milwaukee. Just one of those guys that I've always had a lot of respect for because I wanted to be a news anchor or a weather guy at one point, you know?
Wow.
So